Welcome to Agent of Wealth Podcast with Mark Bowdus from Bowdus Financial. In this podcast, Mark helps small business owners and retirees overcome the multiple wealth planning challenges involved in your financial life. We do this by creating comprehensive wealth management plans to guide you towards financial freedom, ensure you never run out of money, and help create a balance in life that prioritizes what is most important to you. Join us for this journey as Mark draws from years of expertise and guest experts to solve the multiple wealth planning issues involved in your financial life.
Hello and welcome to the Agent of Wealth with Mark Bowdus of Bowdus Financial. Today, Mark has a special guest, and that's Judy Lawrence. Good morning, Mark and Judy. How are you?
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
I'm good.
This is Judy, and I am doing very well. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Judy, for being here. Mark, you brought Judy in. Can you go ahead and introduce her to the audience?
Sure. Yeah. Judy's a personal finance counselor, a speaker on money management, and the author of two financial bestsellers. So today's topic, we're going to talk about budgeting and making sure that your money is working for you. So welcome, Judy.
Thank you, Mark.
So I'm a big proponent of budgeting and understanding where your money's going. And so I'm excited about today's topic. And maybe, Judy, if you can start, can you give us some of your background and also how you came to specialize in budgeting and money management?
Okay. And it is an interesting background because I actually grew up in Wisconsin and I'm the daughter of a cheesemaker. So I always Midwest values, money values and all of that. And I had to work and I had to earn money. And as a kid. So I was involved with dealing with money at an early age. And that's probably where it actually started. And, I never took classes like accounting or bookkeeping or any of that. So it's always kind of curious that I happened to come up with a budget kit book. And once I got my degree, which was in my master's was in counseling. And prior to that, it was physical education. But I was good in counseling and I worked in schools, I worked in colleges and had dealt a lot with people with emotional situations. But I had also been a realtor here in Albuquerque. We moved to Albuquerque early on and I was a realtor and I saw a lot of young couples who really, this was years and years ago before we had all the tools, but they were really just clueless as to how much they could afford. So I used to create worksheets for them and information for them to prepare them to go get their loan. And then, so I was dealing with people and their money then. I also worked on the Navajo reservation for a couple of years, and a lot of the staff there were having trouble with debt. So then I tried to give people ideas for handling debt. And then the last part, I was a counselor at a community college here, which actually Bill Gates had attended before he got his company started. And I saw a lot of women who were widowed or divorced having to come back to school as re-entry students, which was very terrifying for them, but they had to also deal with money, and that was terrifying. And I kept seeing that there was such a need for a basic budget book that, I realized I had a renegade entrepreneurial spirit, and I thought, well, I don't see anything out there. Then again, this was like in the 80s, and so I just went out and created a book, and fortunately, the college where I was working was just starting up a printing program. So my book then called Common Sense, C-E-N-T-S, that became a book through that program. And Dow Jones and Kaplan and Dearborn had all come to me and Kaplan is now the current publisher for the budget kit. But that then led into people wanting me to, great, we have the book, but could you just kind of help us through this? Or I'd be asked to do workshops. And so fast forward a couple decades, and now I do all my coaching pretty much online and locally. I'll do presentations. I'll do webinars for a couple different companies throughout the country. And so I do work a lot with people with their personal budgets. I don't get into any of the other investments. So it's all pre-investment level budget counseling that I do with people and coaching. And I have a website, moneytracker.com, and there I added a lot of tools and free e-courses and a free webinar and things like that. So it's been very interesting to work on that tiny little niche of just the budgeting part and not the other area.
Sure. So, I mean, it's definitely an interesting niche. And even as a financial advisor, I call budgeting as one of the foundations of any engagement that I start with someone. It also seems like it's probably one of the more challenging ones because it's people find it tough to get started and or they get stuck. How do you approach it? Or do you have a system on, okay, we'll take someone from, that's never done anything with budgeting or money management and we'll actually get them to a place so that they know where their money's going?
Usually the main thing is for people to have some, what's their why? What's their motivation? What's the compelling reason that they realize I need to do something about my money? And people think that budgets are all about drudgery and deprivation. And somewhere that's the view that had come along for a long time. And yet people who have used my budget kit book or people who have done coaching with me over the years, first thing they will say is they find budgets are liberating instead of depriving. Because once they have a budget, they have a sense of control and they have a way of knowing what's going on and they're no longer operating in the dark and no longer getting in greater debt, not knowing what's going on. So usually they have to, if someone is told I need to do a budget, that doesn't always work. We have to find what's the reason, what's the pain spot for some people or the pleasure. What is it they want? They want to get their debt paid off. They don't want the stress anymore. They want to get money set aside for college, or they want to start a new business, or they want to buy a new home, or they want to take this great trip. And if they manage their money better and more effectively and create some kind of spending plan, that can happen. So there has to be some compelling motivation to get started with it.
Mm-hmm. And once someone gets started, is it simply just writing down where every single dollar goes for that month or for that year? Or is there a different way or a different approach that you see people be successful with putting one together?
And that's what's interesting because, I've been in this literally for decades. And as far as resources and materials, we couldn't have more resources that exist at this time. There are just numerous apps and software available. And the key thing is to find the best fit for you. And as you said, write it all down. That's usually where people have been told, just write it down. And that's a good start. Now, the key is when you're tracking your money, that is not a budget. It's a tool and it gives you a lot of information, but it's not the full-blown idea of a budget, which is actually a plan. But where do you start? You can just go to your banks or your credit unions. And almost all of them now are offering some kind of they'll call it a budget. They'll show where the money's going. They'll give you the categories. Or there's a lot of other app software out there that will do the same thing. They will record what you use from your debit, from your credit card, from your checking, and all of that can be recorded for you. But the key, of course, is to look at this information. And then the second part of that is actually to create a budget. And I kind of call these two things, there's kind of the windshield approach or the rear view approach. And the rear view mirror is the idea of tracking your money. Some people just still manually take a little notebook and write it all down. Some people have their apps. Some people have Excel sheets they've put together that they can just note it on their Excel, the categories they've created. My book, The Budget Kit, has literally worksheets for every single month for tracking, but you can get the same form on an Excel format in my moneytracker.com website. And you can track everything that you spend. And that way you have the information. So that's always a good start to just see where's my money going. And I have to say, over the years, people have said consistently, once they started tracking their spending, they found that they were spending less, saving more, and interestingly, their lifestyle hadn't changed at all. They weren't feeling deprived in any way, but they had started to save money, which was a key thing. So tracking is definitely one step, but the real windshield approach is when you're outlining a plan. And again, my budget kit book gives you a plan or an outline. And I call it kind of I say that I have like three core concepts or sections. And the first part really is creating that plan, outlining a plan. And you want to make sure you get all the fixed expenses in. Everybody knows their fixed expenses. You can write it down on the back of an envelope. Everyone knows their bills. The same amount, same time due every single month. But then there's what I call the fixed variable. You know, we still have fixed expenses. We always are going to eat. So there's always going to be groceries and gasoline and utilities and, you know, various other expenses that are there every single month, but they're going to vary. So what you want to do is outline ahead of time, what do you think you're going to estimate that those expenses are going to be as you're preparing for your budget for the next month? And lastly, the part that everybody overlooks is, well, what else are you going to spend your money on? And that's the discretionary area, which I'm sure you talk about all the time with people. Where are all those miscellaneous expenses? Are you having a haircut? Do the kids have a field trip coming up? You need to take the dog to the vet or the grooming? Or do you have other gifts, or like you have some birthday parties coming up? And all those are just different expenses for that particular month. So if you're outlining a windshield approach to what is my plan for this upcoming month, what are all the things that are coming up for this particular month for expenses? If we get into a month that has a holiday, Memorial Day or Christmas or whenever it is, then there's probably other expenses going on during that month. And that's part of the planning as well. So beyond the tracking, that's kind of the other core piece for a budget, is to outline a budget.
Mm-hmm. And I know you mentioned, just by, I guess, naturally by putting a budget together or seeing where your money is going, you see people spending less. A question I get is, you know, someone will track where their money's going, but then they'll ask me, they'll take a particular category like food or travel, and they'll ask me, am I spending too much? How does someone know, I guess it's probably relative to their income, but how does someone know whether there is areas that they can, you know, or that they maybe should look at cutting back at specific areas?
And that, you're right, that is a common question. And a lot of people want their guidelines. What percent should I be spending in this area or that area? And, you know, there's lots of approaches to that. What percent we should spend in these areas. What I end up doing with clients is recommending you create your own information. Maybe your grocery bill is a lot higher than someone else's, but maybe your eating out bill is a lot less, or maybe something else in your household is a lot less, and maybe eating is a big deal for you. Maybe you get a lot of organic food, or maybe you have a lot of entertaining, or you have a big family. And so I recommend that people put their budgets together, outline what their expenses are, track it, and see how close are they to what they plan to be. If they're running short or close to short each month, then you go in line item by line item and start looking, okay, where should we adjust? Maybe we are spending too much in our groceries. Let's see if we can cut back there. Maybe we're spending too much on entertainment. How about if we cut back there? Where can we cut back? And I have a client last week that decided we're going to cut out the cleaning. We have someone come in to clean. We're both working. We're both busy. But we realize we're tight every month and we need to cut back somewhere. Let's try it. And so that's a personal decision for people. And yes, you can, if people need their guidelines, there's enough of them out there. You can probably just do a search and it'll give you a guideline on anything you want. What I have found for food, which I find interesting, is, and doing this for a long time, is if I'm in a presentation, I'll ask someone, okay, how many are in your family? Well, we have four in our family. How much do you spend on your groceries? Everybody seems to know their groceries pretty much. And then I'll just divide it in my head and see what it's averaging out, whether it's a five-year-old or a 15-year-old. And interestingly, it usually comes out to a dollar average. And right now, I'm seeing is probably more in the $300 to $400 range per person. I can remember when it was $75 per person. And every once in a while, I'll come across someone who's maybe in a lower, you know, 200 range or less. It's like, okay, they're doing a lot of coupons. They're doing a lot of making food at home. They're very, they're just diligent about it. And what's also interesting, food is an interesting category. There are people who are hoarders and they're canning or they're saving and they're buying sales. And so they're overstocked in their cabinets. And when I see those situations, sometimes I do the house, locally I'll do the little house calls. I encourage people to take a month and just start using up your food. Use up the food in the freezer. Use up the food in the cabinets. Use up the food just to save yourself some money 1 month. And food is a security thing for a lot of people. So it's an interesting area to go. And often people feel guilty. The first thing they say is, we spend way too much on food. And then when I do the little calculation, I'd say, no, you're actually right on the mark. You know, your bill sounds reasonable, but you can try cutting back and see how that goes. Maybe if people drink a lot of sodas or they drink a lot of bumps or have a lot of snacks, other things like that, you know, those are areas that you could cut. So back to your question, what do you do as far as averages or percents or guidelines? I leave it up to them to decide what their guidelines ultimately are that fit best for them.
And I guess it probably has to also tie into their other goals. So you look at your budget and then maybe look at, are they saving enough for retirement? Are they saving enough to put their kids through college? And if not, where's the other places that, you know, they can, the income that comes in is going to be for the most part.
Right. And that's where you want them working with their, you know, with you, their advisors. And that's part of fixed expense, making sure that all the retirement's taken care of, emergency savings is taken care of, college is taken care of. And then there may be additional savings so that perhaps you're saving for a new home or you're saving, maybe you're going to be having an addition to the family or something that you still have additional savings out there. So yes, you're right. That's all part of your fixed expenses.
And is budgeting just for people who are in debt? I get that question a lot when I'll, you know, try and promote putting a budget, putting a spending plan together. And a lot of people think it's just if you're having financial problems that you need to put a budget together.
I know, and that's an interesting one. So just ask the millionaire next door or someone else that you might know who's doing well financially. And many times you'll find out that they have some spending system in place. They have values, priorities in place. And so they are using budgets. And I mean, yes, people who do have debt do get help. I send them to consumer credit counseling services. But a lot of people reach a point. I mean, my people are all professionals who make a lot of money. And they're coming to me and they're realizing it's time to have a budget because they want to make sure that they are managing their money as they can instead of having money trickle away, which happens if you're not paying attention to it. Because you have a lot of money. You don't really need to pay attention, but then your money isn't being directed where you want it to go. I created a financial literacy class for our Habitat for Humanity here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it was interesting working with that population because it's the same approach that I use with them as I do with high-end people. And it's the same process. And it's not always about debt, but debt can be a motivator for someone to actually start a budget. I clearly know it's not about you need a budget because you are in debt. That's not the only reason people do it.
Mm-hmm. And the other question, I work a lot with business owners. Do people with variable income or their income fluctuates month to month, do they have to budget differently or is it they can kind of use the same process?
In a way, actually the same process. In fact, I had, I remember I added a new section to the Budget Kit book when I had a client who was an attorney and they did settlement cases every few months. There would be months that there was no money coming in. So we still had to go through what are the fixed expenses, fixed variables, other kind of expenses, when are they due? And so when that big settlement comes in, you know what your monthly expenses are. You put the rest aside so you can draw from that savings for the next 2 months. It covers you. It's the same kind of thing. And granted, people who have variable incomes with commissions or other things, you still have the same expenses. And that's where you always want to make sure you're really planning and estimating how much is going to be coming this month. Will I get a higher commission or a lower commission? And based on that, where do I adjust? And I always want to make sure I'm putting aside in savings to be able to pull from when it's needed in a lower month.
So they're almost, I guess, creating sort of this variable income fund that they pull when months when income is low, and then they replenish when they have months with additional income. Is that how they do it?
That's what I always recommend, because it's so tempting to think, oh, we made a lot of money. We now can get the things we want.
Right.
However, it's forgetting the planning ahead. And another aspect that I include with my budgeting tools is what I call the yearly budget worksheet, which is a way to start anticipating the periodic expenses that come up throughout the year, whether they're quarterly or annually or semi-annually, whether it's your car maintenance or your health exams or your holiday events or the kids going to camp in summer, all things that show up throughout the year, but they're not monthly, and people forget about them and they end up landing on a credit card over and over and over, which is why the credit card debt keeps growing. And so it's the same thing. If we have a picture of all those periodic expenses showing up during the different months, that's what's kind of running in the background. So if you're on a variable income, it's the same thing. You've got variable expenses, you've got variable income. There's a lot to track. So instead of thinking, yay, I got a big check this month, I can spend it. Let's go back and look at that yearly picture. What are those periodic things coming up the next month? What are expenses I need to be anticipating? What if I have a really low month? How much do I need for that month? And so it's really on track if you have more planning in place.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see, does someone put a budget together, track their expenses for 3 months, 6 months, a year, and then they don't have to do it again? Or is this something that they should be committing to basically for the rest of their life?
Yes. And I think that's a good one too, because is it one and done? I like that one. I mean, that would be nice. However, it's really important to be aware that there's adjustments every single month. So yes, you get your template put together. However your budget comes together, those fixed are pretty fixed, and the fixed variables, you kind of know what they are going to range. And you could have a sense of what it is, so that after a while you have a general overall dollar amount of how much it's going to be. But it's still helpful to go in and tweak each month, each coming month. You don't have to redo it all, but you just tweak a few aspects of it. So that the other thing is you're staying in touch with it. If you start varying off, it's like, okay, I have a budget in place, I don't have to think about it anymore. Then without realizing it, we just start spending again. I had one couple, I actually told them I was doing a podcast, and they said, I talked to them about keeping it up and how important is it. And the guy said, oh, you can use us as a case for husband and wife. And he was saying, even if couples who don't agree on their values or what they should do with their money find that they have some structure in place, it kind of calms the waters and gives them a rational view of their financial landscape. They have a way of knowing what to anticipate and being in tune with it. And for his wife, she said, it's a lot of work in the beginning and anxiety at first, because you're having to do such honest looking at your spending. But then the rewards are out there, that you're not having to worry so much about the future. And you start looking at things and realizing, well, if I give this up, if I give up HBO, then we'll have more money to put together for a vacation this year, or you have choices with it. So yes, it's good to come up with a template, a core budget, but people do keep it up, and they keep up the tracking for months and years. And then once they're, nothing's changing, they pretty much, once they're in the groove and a habit after a long time, I find people only changing if someone goes off to college, or they have a newborn, or their job changes, or they move, or things like that, where there's dramatic differences. Then they kind of go back, tweak it all again, and get back on track with a different set of numbers. But overall, it's not necessarily I'll do it one time and forget about it. It's staying tuned in. And you can use all the alerts that we now have on banking. We can have alerts letting us know how much did we spend, how much did we deposit, and what's our next bill coming up. So that can help you stay tuned in as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely. And I know you know, you mentioned the book, the Budget Kit, and the templates that it has. How does an engagement with you, if you're working with someone as their, you know, coach or counselor, what does an engagement look like? Do you have calls with them periodically, or is there a lot of upfront work? You know, how do you work with someone?
The best part I find with people is, you know, I kind of have a 3-hour block with them. And interestingly, we barely put together a pretty solid budget. We can, you know, if we do more than 3 hours, then we can do a lot more tweaking and a lot more personalizing. But I have people pay me up front for about a 3-hour block. And then it's around $500 that they pay. And we are, during that time, we're looking at the screen. I use join.me, and I'm literally putting a budget together for them using the template from the Budget Kit book. They are watching it come together. I don't want them to have to deal with it initially because it's too overwhelming. I, ahead of time, they look up all their information. They have all the numbers ready. And then we just start quickly plugging it in. They see me plugging it in. And then right away, I can realize, is this a monthly or is this something that should go on the yearly? Is it only every quarter? And it's an interesting visual process. They get to see, okay, well, how much are your groceries or how much are you spending on the kids? And we build it and build it and build it. And they will see it. Usually we'll work about an hour and a half first time. And then I try to get two more in after that, you know, shorter follow-up sessions. I give them homework. Okay, look up this information and this information and whatever else is needed. And then we'll regroup usually in about a week. And generally in a month's time, with 2 or 3 phone calls and being online, we'll put together a core budget. And no matter what their financial status, I mean, I've had engineers, I've had financial planners, people, they will all say the same thing. It's a different kind of format. And once they look at it, and husband and wife look at it as a team, it's no longer you spend. It's all about what do we need to do to adjust. They can see, are we on, you know, are we living within our means or are we going over and what do we need to adjust? So basically it's through phone calls, working online together, seeing a budget come together. And then I'll send that attachment to them. I'll send them a recording of it. And in some cases, it's a lot more about counseling. It's a lot more about what's going on with the dynamics as a couple, as a family. And we may just be on the phone talking about the whole situation with money. What was money like in the past in their families? How is it affecting them now? How are they dealing with the children and their upcoming expenses or their debts or the job changes? So I do a lot of counseling with a lot of people just by phone, and then maybe we'll get back on and work on the budget again. A lot of times, people want accountability. It's a key thing I'm seeing now, whether I'm getting the pre-retirement person or the professional with a young family. They could do all this, but they say I've started budgets over and over and, you know, I can't keep it up. I need accountability. I need to have some homework. I need to have someone I'm checking in with. It's like, oh my God, we paid this woman. We better make sure we do it before we have our call. And you know, whatever it takes to motivate someone, accountability is a key that people are looking for these days. So that's what I'm finding is kind of the sweet spot for me, giving people guidance and accountability, give them real core information that's something they can use for the rest of their lives.
Okay, so thank you, Judy. We're just out of time for today's episode, but really appreciate you coming on. It was some great information. If any of our listeners want to reach out to Judy, her website is moneytracker.com. She also, you know, we spoke about the book, The Budget Kit, that's available on Amazon. And her email address is judy@moneytracker.com. So thank you again, Judy.
Oh, thank you, Mark. It was a pleasure.
Judy, thank you so much. Mark, thank you for bringing Judy on. And thank you all for listening to the Agent of Wealth podcast with Mark Baudis. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Mark comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. And if you've got a friend or family member that could use this advice and needs a little bit of help with budgeting, they can reach out to Judy. If they need some help with finances and getting ready for retirement and all those other issues, they can give Mark a call. So again, thank you for listening today. For everyone at Bowdus Financial, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Agent of Wealth podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Bowdus Financial. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment and financial planning.